today, we'd like to see the title of To Serve in the book of Mark chapter 10, verses 17 up to 52. To online worthy people on the earth, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 21, then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack, go your way. Sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." What does Jesus ultimately ask the rich young ruler? Which thing do we love? And can we examine our heart to love God more than death? Question 2, in verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. What method and motive are our ministries? Last question 3, in verse 52, then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. How could we know his faith? Jesus is on his way towards Jerusalem to be crucified. Verses 17 up to 31 talk about rich young ruler's heart. Verses 32 up to 34, Jesus teaching the fourth time his death and resurrection. Verses 35 up to 45, graciousness in serving. 46 up to 52, blind beggar's heart. Verses 17 up to 31, about rich young ruler's heart. Now as Jesus was going out on the road, one came running. So one is a young rich. Matthew chapter 19 verse 22 indicating young man and great possession. So we know that this guy is a young guy, also great possession, which means he was a wealthy, rich guy. Also, this guy's ruler, Luke chapter 18, verse 18, another synoptical gospel, that said, now a certain ruler asked him. So we know that this guy was a civilian officer. So one young, rich ruler came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher or good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Eternal life means salvation, the life forever. That's eternal life. Why did he ask for eternal life? Once you achieve certain goals on the earth, you feel emptiness. Here, this guy knows that his richness, political power, which were temporal, not eternal. That's why he asked him eternal life. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanities of vanities, all is a vanity. What profit as a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun, which is on the earth. You know, everything labor is in vanity, so feel emptiness. Then verse 18, so Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. So don't you know me? The one that is God." Jesus awakened him to know that Jesus is God. Verse 19, you know the commandments. Here, commandment, total six. Six commandments on the second table of a stone, of 10 commandments in Exodus. Here, do not commit adultery, 7. Do not murder, 6. Do not steal, 8th commandment. Do not bear false witness, 9th commandment. Do not defraud, or do not covet, 10th commandment. Last one, honor your father and your mother, the 5th commandment. Then verse 20, and he answered, the rich young ruler answered and said to Jesus, Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. This meaning, my relationship with neighbors were so nice because I kept all of them. Because the second table of stone refers to our relationship with neighbors. So he had a nice relationship with neighbors. He appeared morally good. Verse 21, then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Jesus saw his earnestness and said to him, Jesus is God. Jesus is omniscient. So Jesus knows which one he loved mostly. So one thing you let go your way, sell whatever you have. So sell, which means deny the possession you have, the possession which you most love, deny. Deny whatever self-related things. This guy, money or possession, but some guy, fame or health, knowledge or son or daughter, whatever. Deny yourself and give it to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross. Here, to give to the poor is to have a treasure in heaven, because the Father in heaven will reward you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 4. Your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees it in secret will himself reward you openly. Take up the cross, which meaning take up God's calling, and follow me, follow Jesus. That is simply, you should become my disciple, should become his disciple. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, then Jesus said to his disciples all, if anyone desires to come after me, first step, let him deny himself whatever reliant thing. This guy is a possession, or somebody, whatever, or self, or other thing. Then take up his cross, which meaning the Lord gives your calling. So God knows your plan for your life. So take up his cross and daily and follow me. Also Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, same content. Jesus said to his disciple, if anyone desire to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So verse 21, simply Jesus asked him, you should be his disciple. How? First, deny yourself whatever you like thing, then take up the cross and follow me. That's all. Then is a question one is next, which thing do we love? We know before the Lord. So can we examine our heart to love God more than that? So if you love something equal to God or more than God, that's considered as an idol. So here, verse 22, but he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. So he could not give up the great possessions. Showing his love of great possessions greater than the love of God. So he violated the first commandment of 10 on the first table of stone, our relationship with God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 30, you shall have no other God before me. So he's a God, great possessions. But God doesn't want anything else before God. So put God first. Verse 23, then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches. Here, those of who have riches does not mean simply outside riches. So because verse 24, Jesus explained this meaning, those who trust in riches. So those who rely upon the riches rather than God. Those who love riches more than or equal to God. This is Jesus talking about as a matter of heart. We know that Abraham was so rich, so he received a lot of material prosperity from God. So riches itself, nothing wrong, but here, the matter of heart. Those who trust in riches. So verse 24, and the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus called here children, called his disciples, because in this context, the meaning is disciples not enough to mature Christians yet. So we can see, you know, next paragraph, they were fighting each other to get achieve a higher position over Jesus' kingdom come. So here called, you know, children. So then verse 25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. This is simply meaning the man who trusts in riches before God, it's impossible to be saved. So here another scholar say the eye over a needle means a smaller gate in the city of Jerusalem. So whatever, so a camel would hard even go through the smaller gate over the city of Jerusalem. Because the city of Jerusalem had the big gates only opened during daytime, but nighttime is the big gates shut down, so only the other animal were able to enter the smaller gate. You know? So some biblical scholar explained in that way. Verse 26, and they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? So nobody. But Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible. Salvation is impossible with man. Which means no matter how much riches, no matter how much morality, no matter how much ability, no matter how much anything else man has, but not with God. So salvation is not impossible with God. Salvation is over God. So salvation requires faith alone. The Lord Jesus Christ is Savior. For with God all things are possible. So nothing impossible to God. Verse 20, then Peter began to say to Jesus, see, we have left all and followed you. That's true. They left the nets and boats following Jesus. Matthew left the tax collector job following Jesus. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left the house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and the gospel's sake. So those who left their family for Jesus' sake and the gospel's sake, who shall not receive double negative, no one not, which meaning positive. So those people shall receive a hundredfold now, now meaning in this time, in the present time. So which meaning a lot of families got, they could get. One example, James, 4 weeks ago in South Sudan, he was martyred, his biography. So James in South Sudan became a Christian, rejected by his family, so was martyred. And according to his last will, now many brothers and sisters in Christ on the earth are praying for his family's salvation. So James had a lot of brothers and sisters on the earth. Now we are praying for James' family too. So that is one example. Hundredfold, they have brothers and sisters. So in that way. So with persecutions, so James' case is martyrdom, and in the age to come, eternal life. Eternal life is on the top of death. So greatest reward. Verse 31, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. Many who are first in the sight of the world will be last in the sight of God. Those who are last in the sight of the world will be first in the sight of God. In the kingdom of God, like the world, he who humbles himself will be exalted. Matthew chapter 21, verses 11, 12. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. That's the kingdom of God, or Jesus' kingdom. Verses 32-34, Jesus teaching the fourth time his death and resurrection. Now they were on the road or on the way going to Jerusalem to be crucified Jesus Christ. Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed over what would happened to him. So that is his death. That's what they heard from Jesus' first message. Jesus is going to be crucified. That's why they were frightened. So is and they followed, they were afraid. Then he took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things that would happen to him. In Gospel Mark, first time, Mark chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus taught his disciples first time about his death and resurrection. He began to teach to them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. That's the first message. Second message, chapter 9, verse 9. Now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them that they should tell no one the things they had seen, till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the second time. Third time, Mark chapter 9, verse 31. For he taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of a man, and they will kill him, and after he is killed, he will rise the third day. So now, first time, Jesus' teaching, verse 33. Behold, we are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. Gentiles, that is Romans, non-Jews, and they will mock him. So Roman soldiers will mock Jesus and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. So death on the cross with shed blood, as God says, through the prophets in the Old Testament, God opened my ear is the mark of his bond servant of God. Isaiah is prophecy, chapter 50, verse 4 to 6. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak, a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear. Opening ear is a symbol of a bond servant or a bond slave. For example, opened my cow, which means this cow belonged to me. So that is a bond servant. And I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. That is exactly occurred in New Testament time. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, take the form of a bond servant, right here, bond servant. As Isaiah prophesied, exactly happened in New Testament time. And coming in the likeness of a man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, crucifixion, even the death of the cross. So Jesus, before crucifixion, gets main in a prayer. Also, Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Father, if it is your will, take this cup. This cup is a symbol of death away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So we see that. And third day, he will rise again. So his resurrection, Jesus taught his disciples four times. His death plus his resurrection. Sadly, his disciples did not hear over this resurrection. Although Jesus told them first time, I am going to rise again from death. But he missed his resurrection. Why not? First reason is they were amazed, surprised. Verse 32, they were surprised, amazed, because they thought that Jesus would establish the earthly kingdom, not like the kingdom. So surprised. So the second reason is you do not know what you ask. Verse 38. Because the disciples, they misunderstood Jesus' kingdom as an earthly kingdom to free Israel from Roman ruling. So two reasons. That's why they was not able to listen to Jesus' resurrection message. Then verses 35 after 45 about graciousness in serving. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And Jesus said to them, What do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Grant us that we may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. So in Jesus' kingdom, put James and John, brothers, on the highest position in his glory. One for right seat and the other for the left seat. But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you ask. They don't know Jesus' kingdom as the kingdom of God, not the earthly kingdom. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? The cup as a symbol of death. Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Jesus said, if you will, take this cup away from me. So here, we know that this cup, the wrath of God, the death. So drink the cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. Baptism meaning self-denial as a symbol to wash off self-centered life. So baptism, a symbol of self-denial. So there is, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So then, verse 39, they said to him, we are able. Wow. And Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink the cup. So which meaning? James will be killed, the cup. That is the first martyr of 12 disciples. Book of Acts, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. So then is, with the baptism, I am baptized with you, will be baptized. So you will have a persecution. That is John. Revelation chapter 1 verse 9. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation, here, tribulation, and the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God, because of the word of God and because of the testimony of Jesus Christ. So John was banished upon the island of Patmos. So that's a persecution, tribulation. So John got the baptism. Then verse 40, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. Jesus does not decide to put which seat for you. Simply, Jesus denies, but it is for those for whom it is prepared. So that's already ordained by God. Then verse 41. And when the 10 disciples heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. The other 10 disciples were so upset because James and John, you know, would sit in a higher position. Here we can recognize that the Lord molded imperfected people to be used for the kingdom of God. Time to find. God used like me, imperfect person, but continually God is molding me to be used for the kingdom of God, like you too. So we can see here. Verse 42, but Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. The rulers of the world or earthly kingdom lord it over the Gentiles or ungodly people. So the great rulers exercise authority over them. The great rulers use power over the ungodly people or the Gentiles. Yet, however, contrast, it shall not be so among you, which means the earthly kingdom shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. So, to become, that is God's kingdom. Jesus' kingdom different from earthly kingdom. To become your servant is to become great among you in the kingdom of God. Servant means a slave or minister, not reverend. The first Peter chapter 5, verse 2 to 4, disciple Peter says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, serving, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords of those entrusted to you, not lords. Lord is the earthly kingdom, is the leader's Lord. But being examples to the flock. And when chief shepherd Jesus Christ appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Verse 44, whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. Or at the last of all. In the kingdom of God, to become the slave of all is to become first. To become the last of all is to become first. Luke chapter 14, verse 10. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invites you comes, he may say to your friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. Jesus gave a parable to people, so like that. Verses 42, 52 about the blind beggar's heart. 45, question 2, 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. This is a very important verse for ministers, ministry. So Christian ministry, this shows ministers' method and motive. Method is to serve, not to be served. That's a minister's method. To serve, not to be served. Then motive here, ransom. Ransom is his death to release our slavery to sin. So motive is that ransom love which we owe Jesus Christ. So agape love is a motive for ministry. Then ministry means to serve, not to be served. John chapter 15, verse 13. Great love has no other than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. So Jesus gave a greatest love, his life for us on the cross. So we owe the greatest love, the ransom love. So that is a motive for ministries and how. So to serving, not to be served. So 46 up to 52, blind beggar's heart. Now they came to Jericho. Jericho is the middle city, the reaching into Jerusalem. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. Here we know that blind beggar. So blind beggar, how about his heart? Heart does not mean an organ of a heart in a human physical body, but is a deep thought about knowing, feeling, and willing. So let's see, his heart. Verse 47. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus is the son of David. He has the knowledge of Jesus, the Messiah, descended from David through a prophecy in the Old Testament time. Isaiah, for example, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, over the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David, David right here, and over his kingdom, to order it, establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. So forever is David's kingdom. So here means Jesus, he called the son of David, simply meaning Jesus the Messiah. So the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So he has a deep thought about knowing. Then in verse 48, then many warned him to be quiet, keep silent, or shut up mouth, but he cried out all the more. So he expressed his feeling, crying more, the son of David, have mercy on me. So he's a deep thought about feeling. So first knowing, knowledge, now feeling. So 49, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Jesus called him. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. Then verse 50, throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus without seeing, without sight, because he's blind, showing his willing to follow Jesus. His deep thought about willing to follow him. Then verse 51. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. He called the Lord or Master. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith. So here, your faith. He's a belief in Jesus, the Messiah, from his heart of Father. So Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have a faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. So his faith proved out by his work to follow Jesus. So we covered all three questions. So let's just sing song all together. Page 69, song number 18.